This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Wednesday, October 3rd. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, more on the debate on whether antibacterial soap is better than regular soap. We'll also get a forecast from AM 580 meteorologist Ed Kieser. First, a look at today's news. Members of the Illinois House berated Governor Rob Blagojevich yesterday for cutting $500 million from the state budget. Then the House voted to override the governor. Amanda Vinicky reports on the latest in the ongoing fight over state spending.
Legislators slammed Blagojevich, saying that the projects he called pork are vitally important to Illinois' neediest residents, and they chastised him for being hypocritical. Blagojevich cut money to repair bridges, while at the same time demanding more state money go to fixing bridges after a deadly bridge collapse in Minnesota. And he slashed funding for AIDS, autism, prenatal, women's health, and mental health programs. Blagojevich says he cut the money from the budget so he can instead put it towards health care. Democratic Representative Lou Lang of Skokie says that's an assault on the Constitution's balance of power.
If we fail to override this veto today, we will have ceded to the governor of the state of Illinois our responsibilities.
Yet while the House voted overwhelmingly to restore most of the money, it appears that isn't going to happen. That's because Senate President Emil Jones affirmed he'll stand by the governor and not allow the Senate to vote on overriding the budget vetoes. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
It's now confirmed that searchers found the body of Naomi Arnett over last weekend in southwest Champaign County. The 36-year-old mother of seven had been missing since late May. Volunteers found human remains Sunday in a shallow grave along 2 Mile Slough south of Sadorus. A release from the county coroner's office says they confirmed that the remains belonged to Arnett based on dental records and other evidence. Police say they've recovered what they call a quantity of forensic evidence, and a task force is examining it to try to find out how Arnett died. A body found last weekend in Danville has been identified. The Vermilion County coroner, Peggy Johnson, says 39-year-old Gerald Coe had been missing for 2 weeks. His body was found along the Vermilion River downtown. Johnson says it may take several weeks to get test results back to determine the cause of Coe's death. Urbana Mayor Laurel Pressing says she'd like to see each part of her city represented on a new civilian police review board. But the present list of 20 applicants submitted by Sunday's deadline doesn't include a member from each ward in the city. None of the candidates are from Ward 4. That area is represented by Alderman Brandon Bowersox, who says he plans to contact a couple of potential candidates from his area who had shown interest. Pressing says another challenge for forming the 7-member panel is if any one part of the city includes more than one applicant.
If I have 5 from one ward, we're going to have to pick the top one. We'll have to sift through like you would for any kind of a job thing. You weigh the people's what they've said on their application. So that's how we'll do it.
The citizens group will serve as an independent panel to review citizen complaints against police officers. The mayor says she hopes to have a board selected this month so they can begin training soon after that. Bowersox says the ordinance creating the group doesn't require equal representation. He says the deadline for finding applicants may have to be extended, though. Champaign City Council has endorsed plans to issue about $50 million in bonds over the next 4 years to finance several building projects. The good news, city officials say, is that they won't have to be paid for by higher taxes. AM 580's Jim Meadows has more.
The bonds would help finance construction of Champaign's downtown parking deck, an extension of Olympian Drive out to the Clearview development, and work on the Burnham development. In that case, some of the existing bonds would be refinanced for lower interest. Champaign Finance Director Richard Schnoor told the City Council they would not be seeking a property tax hike to pay for any of the bonds.
The debt would be issued as a general obligation of the city to achieve the lowest interest costs and therefore lowest debt service costs, but we would not in fact plan to pay the debt service with property taxes. we'd pay with other sources of revenues.
Those revenues include money from the city's tax increment finance districts and future revenue from the downtown parking deck, Clearview, and the Burnham project. Champaign City Council members endorsed the bond idea last night, setting the stage for a $20 million bond sale December 4th. More bonds would be issued in 2009 for the Second Street phase of the Boneyard Creek project, and in 2011 for expanding the city's public works facility. The city still needs to find a funding source for the public works bonds. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
A plan to raise the speed limit for large trucks in Illinois is moving ahead, despite predictions that it will make roads more dangerous. Sean Crawford has that story.
Lawmakers approved the change earlier this year, but the governor vetoed it over safety concerns. The measure would allow trucks to travel the same speed as cars, 65 miles per hour, on rural interstate highways. Currently, trucks are limited to 55 miles per hour. Rushville Democratic Senator John Sullivan says separate speed limits create more problems.
I certainly believe that the uniform speed, all vehicles traveling at the same speed out on the highways, is much safer than having different speeds.
Enough senators agreed to override the governor, but critics are concerned the measure has less to do with safety and more to do with economics. Chicago Democrat John Cullerton says trucking firms want to save time and money by allowing truck drivers to go faster at the expense of lives.
Our time is worth more than your life. That's what the Midwest Truckers Association is saying.
Most surrounding states have uniform speed limits for cars and large trucks. The House also needs to vote for an override for the change to occur in Illinois. A similar proposal made it this far last year before it was defeated. I'm Sean Crawford.
For the latest newscast online, go to will.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. Antibacterial soaps are marketed as an extra defense against that awful bug going around the office or your kid's school. But as the Environment Report's Rebecca Williams tells us, new research finds antibacterial soap is not any better than plain soap at keeping us from getting sick. And some scientists and doctors worry there might be risks to widespread use of antibacterial products.
Make the frosting for the carrot cake.
You want to make the frosting for the carrot cake?
Okay, Jazzy, bring up your chair so you can wash your hands.
Margot Lowenstein says she's just a little extra careful about germs. She never borrows somebody else's ink pen during flu season. She opens public bathroom doors with a paper towel on her way out. But her friends call her a germphobe.
You know, you go to a birthday party and some kid blows out a cake, and you just see the spit flying on the top of the cake, and that is just, I mean, that just kind of grosses me out. So I usually take the cake, but I won't eat that top layer of frosting.
Lowenstein is a soap marketer's dream customer. Market researchers say Americans have been getting more worried about germs. And as a result, we've been buying more soap and hand sanitizer and antibacterial products. Antibacterial soaps have been around since the late 1940s. But the market research firm Euromonitor International says in recent years, germ phobia has given manufacturers a reason to ramp up the antibacterial products in their lines. There are some studies that estimate that about 70% of liquid soaps on store shelves have antibacterial ingredients in them, ingredients such as a chemical called triclosan. Allison Aiello teaches epidemiology at the University of Michigan School of Public Health. Aiello is lead author of a paper in the journal Clinical Infectious Diseases. She examined more than 24 studies on antibacterial soaps containing triclosan. She says triclosan kills bacteria by going after the bacterium's cell wall.
The cell wall cannot be kept intact anymore. It's not able to survive.
But Aiello says there's a growing body of evidence that even though antibacterial soap kills bacteria, it's no better than regular soap at preventing illness. Regular soap doesn't kill bacteria, but Aiello says it works just as well at getting that harmful bacteria off your hands.
Regular soap is basically, it has a surfactant in it. And what it does is it allows the bacteria to be dislodged from the hands. And then the motion that you're using under the water, et cetera, helps dislodge it and make it go down the drain, basically.
Aiello says it's important to note that the soap studies were done with basically healthy people. She says more research needs to be done to find out if antibacterial soaps could be more effective for elderly people or people with compromised immune systems. But Aiello says generally, for healthy people, antibacterial soaps are no better than plain soaps at keeping you healthy. And she says there could be risks to antibacterial products. She says there's evidence from lab studies that antibacterial soaps might be adding to the emergence of superbugs, bacteria that are resistant to antibiotics.
In the laboratory setting, it is clear that there are mechanisms that can lead to antibiotic resistance when bacteria are exposed to triclosan.
Aiello says they haven't seen this play out for antibacterial soaps in the real world yet. But she says researchers need to keep an eye on it because antibiotic resistance might take some time to develop. The soap industry dismisses the idea that antibacterial soaps might have something to do with antibiotic resistance. Brian Sansoni is with the Soap and Detergent Association.
The last thing we want to see is people discouraged from using beneficial products. Antibacterial soaps have proven benefits. They are used safely and effectively by millions of people every day. Consumers should continue to use these products with confidence.
The Food and Drug Administration has the final word on antibacterial soaps, but they're still trying to figure out what to say about them. The FDA has been trying to come up with rules for the products for more than 30 years. Right now, there are no formal rules about the levels of antibacterial chemicals in soaps, and there aren't any rules about how the products can be marketed or labeled. There is one thing both the soap industry and doctors agree on. Americans don't lather up often enough with any kind of soap. A new study found one of every three men walk out of the bathroom without washing their hands. Women did better than the guys, but still, about one of every 10 women didn't wash their hands either. Experts say the best way to avoid getting sick is to wash your hands with soap and water for 20 seconds. That's as long as it takes to sing the Happy Birthday song twice. For the Environment Report, I'm Rebecca Williams.
The Environment Report is a production of Michigan Radio. Support comes from the Joyce Foundation, the George Gund Foundation, and USDA's Cooperative Extension Service. Have something to say about the Environment Report? Send email to feedback@environmentreport.org.
Our meteorologist Ed Kieser says we'll see mainly sunny skies for the next couple of days. In fact, a warming trend as we get unseasonably warm for this part of October. A forecast for today in northern and west central Illinois, mostly sunny. Northwest Indiana and east central Illinois should see some clouds early, then sunny. Elsewhere, cloudy with scattered showers and thunderstorms, still mostly in the morning hours. The highs today ranging from 73 in the north to 83 in far southern Indiana. Clear to partly cloudy across the two-state area tonight, with lows ranging from only 50 in far northwest Illinois to 60 in the far south and in Chicago. And for tomorrow, mostly sunny, and highs tomorrow from 81 in far northern Illinois to 88 in the far south. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Wednesday, October 3rd. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, and other helpful information on our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.